Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day and to be able to spend a little time with you, share some of my thoughts, introduce you to some really smart people, our Brain Trust members, and let them share some of their thoughts and give you some of their ideas on what's going on out there, some things that you can take away with you and use in your small business, use it as you manage your life, as you make investment decisions, as you think about some of the things we talk about are things that go bump in the night, things that are coming at you that might be a little dangerous. Max Schultz is one of those guys who brings us that information. He's senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute Center for Energy Policy. And he's here to talk to us about this energy bill that we got as a kind of a little bit of a Christmas present, I guess. Max, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Happy holidays.
Okay. Did we get an energy bill, Max?
We got an energy bill right before Christmas. It's the second major energy bill that Congress has passed in recent years. They passed a big one in 2005. When the Republicans controlled Congress, nominally at least, and they passed a big energy bill right now with the Democrats controlling Congress. And
so, if you had to give this this energy bill a title, would you call it leadership or loser?
Jim, this is a terrible, terrible bill the Congress just passed.
I guess the second would answer is your choice.
I think so.
You're choosing door number two, right?
Exactly. I mean, this is a bill which, as far as I can tell from my read of it, has no redeeming features. It doesn't do a single thing to address America's kind of long-term energy concerns. It doesn't do anything to expand energy supplies in the U.S. And the only real kind of practical effect it's going to have is that it's going to distort markets, and it is going to raise prices, and not just energy prices of a lot of different products that the consumers buy.
This sounds like a bill Al Gore would love.
It really is. I said a minute ago that there are no redeeming features of this bill. That's not entirely true. The only redeeming feature of this bill is that the initial proposals that were floating around in Congress were even worse than what was ultimately passed. And to get a bill that would
thank God
pass,
for a little gridlock, huh?
Exactly. They had to strip out some of the more onerous provisions. But it is still a very bad bill.
What are the things you don't like about it?
Well, there are basically four kind of major things that this bill does. The one that has gotten a lot of the headlines, most of the headlines, is that it is it's raised CAFE standards. These are the corporate average fuel economy standards that the government imposes for our.
We have heard about that.
And the new
bill, is it, 42 miles to the gallon by 2000 something?
I think it's 40 miles to the gallon kind of fleet wide by 2020. And,
wow. So that's like a bicycle, right?
Well, it's the practical effect of this is that we're going to see cars that are that are lighter, that don't use kind of as strong materials as cars that consumers
right.
actually want to buy, that they're less crash worthy.
You mean like a Saturn?
Teasing,
folks. I'm just teasing. Go ahead.
I mean those cars are fine. The point is that what this does is that it takes choice away from consumers. There are a number of different factors that go into buying a car that consumers use. Fuel economy is just one of them. Size, the ability to haul things, crashworthiness. These are all factors that consumers use. Now, as far as the government is concerned, the only thing that matters is the miles per gallon a car gets. And as we've seen the enforcement of CAFE standards over the years, one of the things we've seen is we've seen kind of larger vehicles, which frankly consumers have wanted, are getting made less and less.
Well, here's the thing. This seems like another example of our government taking 20th century constructs and trying to manipulate them rather than coming up with 21st century ideas.
Yeah, you're right about that. And you know what the irony of all this is, it's one of the reasons why I think, frankly, you know, the automakers and the congressmen from Detroit actually signed on to this bill. They were okay with this mandate from the government. And the reason for that, my suspicion, is that Detroit realizes that the way technology is progressing, it's actually going in that direction. They probably will be able to meet these new hiked standards when 2020 rolls around. But that has nothing to do with what Congress is does. It has nothing to do with these mandates. It has
right.
to do with technological progress. You know, we've had this tremendous computer revolution over the last couple decades with these unbelievable advances with microprocessors and computing technology, and that slowly is actually replacing under the hood a lot of the mechanized operations of the drivetrain of cars. And that is what is going to make our cars lighter. It has nothing to do with Congress passing a law which says you have to get this mileage. It has to do with the fact that that's where technology is going.
Now, and of course that's what we need to be doing. But I guess what my concern is, why aren't we focusing on another way to propel ourselves down the road? I mean, it just seems to me, Max, that one of the things the United States should be leading the world in, where we could regain our dominance, whatever loss of dominance we've had in the last decade or so, we could regain our dominance if we became the leaders in developing alternative energy. And I'm not talking about ethanol.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, there are many efforts underway to develop alternative energies and to develop alternative transportation systems. It's both in the private sector and in the public sector. It's not necessarily as easy as that. I mean, we have to recognize here when members of Congress pass laws, you know, which say, you know, it's as easy as pulling a lever to get the standards changed. What we need to realize is the internal combustion engine that's in all of our cars and trucks. Is a machine which has been perfected over the course of a century. There's a reason that's what we have in our cars and trucks. There are other ways to propel vehicles, but nothing works as well so far as the internal combustion engine. And coming up with something to replace it when we haven't been able to do that in a century is not the easiest thing to do.
But it's a worthy goal, isn't it? Max, I'm no gore-loving tree hugger. You know that, right? So I'm trying to be the voice of reason here. Stand by. Max Schultz and I are going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about nuclear, too, right after these messages. What is nuclear more in your future? And should it be? 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
This is Douglas Campbell for the Success Coach, thesuccesscoach.com. Congratulations on turning 10, Jim. Just don't outgrow your legendary youthfulness. Here's to a rockin' good time in the next 10 years.
I get a constant busy signal when I call you on the phone. I get a
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and all the other things we do, including the archives, articles, hundreds and thousands, actually, of articles and archives. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, which we send to you by email every Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. Our blog is there. You can check it out. We update it every weekday. And don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. Max Schultz is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Mac is a senior fellow with Manhattan Institute Center for Energy Policy. The Center for Energy Policy. I'll get that right in a minute. And we're talking about the new energy bill that Max is not too happy with. Max, what in your world, in the world according to Max, what would the energy bill have looked like? Would you just not even passed one?
Well, if the alternative to this was not the passing one, that was preferable. But there are a couple things that Congress should have done that it didn't come close to doing, a couple things it should have done to help ensure our energy security for the future. Chiefly, we need to expand our supplies of energy. Right now the price of oil is back up near $100 per barrel, and the events in Pakistan yesterday certainly don't help in that regard. you know, we have, you know, while we have all been complaining about gasoline prices being so high for the last few years, it's important to note that we have, you know, millions and millions of barrels of oil that are sitting off limits in Alaska, off the outer continental shelf, in the Gulf of Mexico, and the supplies of natural gas in the Gulf and in federal lands in the West that are completely off limits, not allowed to be produced and exploited and brought to market.
So we got people who are beating us up over our dependence on foreign oil, but they won't allow us to put our best foot forward with our own natural resources.
It's a real
what's
irony.
What's wrong with that picture? That's not irony. That's duplicity. I don't know what you call that. It's awful.
It's a sad picture. I mean, you know, when you know the same folks who you're right, they complain about our dependence on foreign oil, and they also complain about the high price of oil and of gasoline. Are very often the people who are the most stringent in terms of blocking any efforts to open up these resources.
They're the same ones who won't let us build any new refineries.
Exactly.
Are they the ones who are not going to let us build new nuclear plants?
Possibly. You know, we've seen a little bit of a shift on that from the, you know, opposition to nuclear power has been one of the you know, articles of faith among Democrats and liberals over the years. That's actually changing a little bit, in part because of the politics of climate change. You know, for all the talk about you know, how we need renewable energies rather than nuclear, you know, people are kind of starting to realize that for all the billions of dollars of subsidies we've given to renewable energies, for all the attempts to boost them by federal and state and local governments, they contribute a negligible amount of our energy mix. You know, the wind and solar power contribute something like less than 1% of the electricity that we use in this country. They are, you know, fundamentally incapable of providing any sort of real baseload power.
But you're not proposing that we put a windmills up on every ridge and scar the skyline, are you?
I don't have a big problem with windmills one way or the other. I mean, I actually think they kind of look interesting, but I'm not but I don't fool myself into thinking that they actually are any sort of alternative or replacement for things like nuclear power, natural gas.
Why don't we build more nuclear power?
Well, you know, we're starting
3 Mile Island was 30 years ago. Let's get over it.
It was, and we haven't licensed and built a new plant in this country since then. But one of the features of the last energy bill back in 2005 that Congress passed were a number of provisions that are going to make the environment a whole lot better for building nuclear plants. And so we're seeing something like, you know, 17 or 18 companies and groups right now which have begun the process of filing applications for licenses to build, that are, you know, putting their designs together to build new nuclear plants. Mm-hmm. This is something we have not seen in 3 decades, and that's a very, very positive development for our energy security.
If you had to put your money on one of the alternative fuels for automobiles, for example, as an alternative to gasoline, to carbon fuels, would you put it on corn, on sugar, on biofuels, with like more like a switchgrass or something like that? Or
no,
would you
I mean,
think?
I would,
or would you
I
be
would
thinking
say,
more like electricity or hydrogen? What do you think?
I would stay away from the biofuels. You know, we've seen Congress pass these mandates in this energy bill and the last one, which have, you know, boosted prices at the pump. It's boosted prices at the grocery store. If it were up to me, I mean, you know, one thing, I would let the market work, and strangely, the market is working in this respect.
Yeah, it is.
You know, we talked about the kind of, you know, change.
But do you like electricity over hydrogen?
I do. I mean, the hydrogen holds promise, but there are a lot of problems with it. What we're seeing the market do is we're seeing a switch to kind of an electrified car in some respects. You know, there's a very good bet that 10 years from now, the cars and trucks we buy, all of them, are going to have some sort of kind of hybrid drivetrain.
Yep.
And that's
which will help to meet the CAFE standards.
Yes, it will.
And without a law having to be passed.
Exactly. It's you know, there is no need for this.
Max,
law.
give us your website, please, quickly.
It is www.manhattan-institute.org.
That's where he belongs, senior fellow at Manhattan Institute's Center for Energy Policy. Hey, thanks, Max, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much.
Happy New Year. Max Schultz, ladies and gentlemen, with the Manhattan Institute. Quick break. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.